The seventh day Sabbath is very important to Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, it's even found in our name, the first part of it, Seventh-day Adventists. And it has to do with our stance toward the seventh-day Sabbath. And as Adventists, we find ourselves just like I did as that 16-year-old boy. Very swimming upstream against culture. Everyone else came to the practice and stayed the whole time. Everyone else on that all-star team played the entire game except for this one Adventist kid who felt it was important to keep the Sabbath hours. And sometimes we as Adventists, because we feel like we're swimming uphill against a culture that seems to treat the idea of a Sabbath day, a day that is different from the others, as just some kind of crazy Old Testament idea that has really been a part of old-fashioned thinking. And so because we, some of the Adventists can feel like we are outnumbered in our belief on the Sabbath day, what we can do is we can put much of our emphasis when we talk to other Christians and other people on trying to prove that the seventh-day Sabbath is biblical. And God never changed his mind on the seventh-day Sabbath. And I totally get that. Because I fully believe with every fiber of my being that the seventh-day Sabbath is an irrefutable biblical doctrine. And it is strongly supported by Scripture that God, from the very first week of the creation of the world, set aside this day, and he never changed his mind, and this day is going to be kept in heaven. Valerie and I have two boys, and our oldest son had a birthday this week. He turned 31 years old. The years keep marching by, don't they? And I know some of you have me beat on the age of your children. So, since I was already thinking of my son's birthday on Tuesday, and by the way, the Schneiders and the Malores have something in common. Our eldest children have April 24 birthdays. I know your daughter turned, how old is she now? 25. Candace turned 25 on the same day my oldest son, Justin, turned 31. And so I've been thinking about birthdays, and I had this idea hit me. Now, I don't know if it even makes sense, but I'd like to kind of bounce it off to you. But I thought of the Sabbath as a birthday of creation. The Sabbath as a birthday of creation. Now, the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath commandment, at least the end of it, uses some direct language that we can't miss that tells us that the Sabbath is tied back to creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. That's the creative God. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And so I've heard the term used, the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. How many of you have heard that? Oh, I think many of us have. The Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, is a memorial of creation. But I'd like to put a little bit of a different twist on that. And I want you to think of the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, as the birthday of creation. My favorite dog is a yellow lab. So, when I was looking at birthday pictures, I said, I have to show this one. The dog is, oh, happy day. It's your birthday. We have a yellow lab, and my son gave it to us to take care of, and she's just a part of the family now. And if you can see the tail, there are some lines that are drawn there to give the idea, because when dogs are happy, they wag their tail. That's what I love about dogs. You can tell when they're happy. So this dog is wagging its tail, has a little bow, and says, oh, happy day, it's your birthday. Now, because it was my son's birthday on Tuesday, I did not wish him a birthday greeting on Sunday of this week. I didn't wait until this afternoon later to then make a call to him and say, "Hey, Justin, happy birthday." It became important to me to actually recognize his actual birthday and to wish him a happy birthday on Tuesday, April 24, because that was the day he was born. Monday wouldn't have worked. Wednesday wouldn't have worked. Only Tuesday would have worked. Now, I parenthetically add that I know birthdays are important to people, and I make an attempt to wish as many of you a happy birthday on your birthday as possible. If you don't receive some sort of communication from me, don't shoot me. I may be out of town. There must be something going on. But I do my best to wish all of you regular members a happy birthday. And so, with great joy, I wish Wes Green Sr. a happy birthday. He is 89 years old today. Maybe I should have said 89 years young, because that guy's amazing. But I didn't get it all right. And yesterday, I made a call to Stan Lane, who had a birthday on Thursday, and said, "Stan, I forgot to do something that I was supposed to do yesterday. Would you accept a belated happy birthday?" And he graciously allowed me to do that and thanked me for taking the time of calling him. So I got four birthdays right this week, and then I missed Stan. So it happens. It happens. But I really try to wish as many of you as possible a happy birthday on the day of your actual birthday, because I think it's better to do that than do a belated birthday. Birthday greetings and birthday parties can take place on a day other than the actual day. However, I would like to maintain that it's just better when we can do either a birthday greeting or a birthday party on the actual day of one's birth. And that first Seventh-day Sabbath celebrated the birthday, or should I say the birth week of creation. It was the birth week of creation. And it would be possible for us to celebrate the birth week of creation on any day of the week. But I think there's something special when you choose to do it God's way and to celebrate creation, the work of creation, on the actual day that God set aside, the seventh day of the week. So today we're going to be talking about the Sabbath. I very much appreciate Bill and Shelley picking music that supported the theme of the Sabbath. And I loved your song. That I'd never heard that before, but that awesome song. Thank you so much. I was very blessed by that. Children's story also on the Sabbath. I just want to warn you that as I talk about the Sabbath for a number of weeks now here, I'm not going to try to prove the Sabbath. It's not that I don't believe that there's plenty of biblical proof for the Sabbath. I think it's a slam dunk. I really do. But what I am doing is I want to draw our attention to something that I think is deeper and more meaningful than just proving the Sabbath. There's not one more proof text that we as Adventists are going to find that we hadn't seen there before on the Sabbath. But there are some things that we can talk about how the Sabbath relates to us as people, personally, that I think makes it very meaningful. The Sabbath experience, if you please. Because I believe that the Seventh-day Sabbath experience brings blessings, and I use the term benefit. The Sabbath brings special benefit to people. Now, Jesus once said something very significant. He said that the Sabbath was for the betterment of people. It's found in Mark 2:27, and I'm going to scroll through a number of different versions. New King James Version. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. New Living Translation. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. Ooh, that's good. How about the Good News? The Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. And how about the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, but I like how it reads. But the Sabbath was made to benefit man and women, all people. The Sabbath benefits people. God gave the Sabbath to be seen as something that meets people's needs, that provides incredible and wonderful benefits for them. And so I am calling this series that we're going to do, Experiencing the Benefit of the Sabbath. And a series on the Sabbath ought to have 7 parts to it, seventh day Sabbath. So I have 7 parts to my series. And today I'm going to talk about experiencing the benefit of the Sabbath, a day of joyous celebration. A day of joyous celebration. Lord, speak through me as I talk about this wonderful creation called the Sabbath. May we see it for all you intended it to be for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that the Lord intended very strongly that the seventh day Sabbath be an experience of joyous celebration. It certainly must have been that way for him during the very first Sabbath. Genesis 1:31, good news. God looked at everything that he had made in the creation, and he was very pleased. Evening passed and morning came. That was the sixth day. God was flat out joyfully happy as he looked at his work of creation. It was very, very, very good. In fact, it was perfect. Nothing needed to be added to it. Nothing could be taken away. It was perfect. And so he looks at his creation and he goes, "Woo, woo! Isn't this great?" There were colors of animals. There was water. There was the sky. There was light. There was butterflies. There was flora. It just goes on and on. The creation was perfect. It was beautiful. When we as human beings complete a big and consequential task, we celebrate. We celebrate. Graduations are times of celebration. Yeah? Weddings are times of celebration. Amen? Birthdays are times of celebration. Isn't that right, George? George just had an 80th birthday celebration that was off the charts fun. It was great. It was great. And what was really cool about it, he didn't see it coming. He got blindsided. It was awesome. During the time of Jesus, the religious leaders, the Jewish mucky mucks, the high ups, didn't see the Sabbath as a day of joyous celebration. They had, in fact, made the Sabbath a real burden. For them, the Sabbath was not a day of joy. It was a day to meticulously follow. It was not a day to enjoy. It was a day to avoid doing certain things. Their emphasis was on what not to do. And the Jewish leaders could point to a verse like this from Isaiah 58:13. Keeping from breaking the Sabbath, from doing what we please on God's holy day. And they probably said it just like that, to impute guilt on as many people as possible. But if you look at that passage, there's much more there that is being said. Yes, the Bible does talk about being careful to keep the Sabbath holy and to not do what we please and to make the Sabbath a different day. But there's some other parts of this verse that I think support what we're talking about today. Call the Sabbath a delight. Then you will find your joy, woo-hoo, in the Lord. Delight and joy. I think we could learn something about Sabbath observance from ancient Israel. I think we could learn a lot. How their relationship with the Sabbath was one of joy and celebration. Psalms chapter 92 is a very interesting psalm. I don't know if you know this, but the Jews, the ancient Jews, after they came back from Babylon, what they would do is they had a psalm that they would sing every day of the week, all 7 days. And I'm not going to go through what each psalm was, but on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, they would sing Psalms 92. Now, we don't have the music. As a worship leader musician, I would love to have the music and to know exactly what they sang, the melody line of it. But we do have the lyrics. We do have the lyrics, and check them out. They're awesome. It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre. That was a guitar back in Bible times. And the melody of the harp. And it goes on, and this is just so cool. For you make me glad by your deeds. O Lord, I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Trivia question. What contemporary praise and worship song is one phrase taken there? Do any of you know? I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. What's the name of that song? Shout to the Lord. Good job. Taken right out of Psalms 92. And so this psalm would be sung every Sabbath by the ancient Jews. It gives you an idea of the tone, how they looked at the seventh-day Sabbath, how it was observed. And I think we could learn something from our ancient Israelite friends. What do you say? How easy it is to lose sight of the aspect of Sabbath as a day of joyous celebration. People in Christ's time certainly lost sight of it. They had manufactured all these Sabbath laws, thousands of them, on what you should not be doing on the Sabbath. And they had made the Sabbath a burden and had deflated it of its joy and celebration. And we do that too. We do that too. I've heard people talk about the Sabbath in terms like, if you're enjoying yourself on the Sabbath, you must not be keeping it correctly. Afflict your souls and grieve. If you're having a good time, pinch yourself because you shouldn't be having fun on the Sabbath. Can you remember some of the heated debates in the late 1880s and the early 1990s on celebration worship? Oh boy, that just saying that just brings back some memories to me. This is a ministry magazine from June of 1990. I know you can't see it because it's so small. But up in the corner, it says, Ministry Reports Celebration Churches. And having gone through this period of time as a pastor and having talked to many of my pastoral friends, it was an uncomfortable time. If any pastor was trying anything different, he was labeled as a celebrationist. If you sang anything other than old songs with no public domain songs out of the hymnal, if you did anything contemporary music, you were pointed at as a celebrationist. And most of us, many of us pastors in this conference, I think even Jim Redfield probably had a few fingers pointed at him in this minute. By the way, my buddy Jim Redfield is here today, and he's a good guy. He's going to do a seminar later today that many of you are going to go to. But I remember those days of the celebration church wars. Oh my goodness, those worship wars. And even though it's been nearly 30 years ago, I still can remember people making accusations against me. And like, I didn't know that celebration was a bad thing. We can celebrate the communion service, but we can't celebrate worship? How does that work? And I don't get it. And I remember one person in particular that illustrates kind of how things can happen, the forces of darkness taking over. There was one pastor, and I will not divulge his name, but there was one pastor who got producing articles, and he wrote a book and videotapes. And you could buy his videotapes, VHS of those days, for $19.95. And this pastor's brother-in-law pastored here in California, and I know him well. And he told me a story that I said, you've got to be kidding. When this one pastor went on this diatribe, this negative sort of influence, and he wrote very caustically, and the videotapes were very sensational, and the church is going down the tubes, and it's a conspiracy, and this is happening, and this is a sign of the end, and it's a sign of apostasy in the last days. And he went on and on and on. At the height of his ministry, celebrationism, as he saw it, his income, his brother-in-law told me, was $350,000 a year. This is an Adventist pastor who went independent and was making $350,000. A lot of people were buying his books and videotapes. Interestingly enough, about, I don't know, 8 to 10 years later, he had a conversion experience. And the Holy Spirit melted his heart. And he repented of being so negative. And he decided that he wasn't going to rail against the church and against pastors, and he was going to be more positive in his message. His income went down from over $350,000 to $80,000 a year. That much when he decided to be positive. So I understand people love the negative, the sensational. This ministry article, I remember one of them, is it safe to celebrate? Is it safe to celebrate? This is what it says, interestingly enough, in Leviticus 12:32. You shall celebrate your Sabbath. Now this is the King James and the New King James rendering. You shall celebrate your Sabbath. And if you look at it, the context is not just on the seventh day Sabbath. It's ceremonial Sabbaths. But it says you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And if you have the New King James Version that I have, there's a little asterisk by celebrate, and when you go to the marginal reference, it says observe or observe. Celebrate is just another word for observe or keep the Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? Another interchangeable idea of observing the Sabbath is to celebrate the Sabbath. So, to to the question of that article, is it safe to celebrate? I would say, argue that it is vital to celebrate. It is God-honoring to celebrate, and we better celebrate this wonderful gift that God has given us called the Sabbath. During the summer of 2008, I had a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I went on a Holy Land tour. It was fantastic. It was directed by two Adventist professors from the Southern California area, La Sierra University, to be exact, Bailey Gillespie and Rick Rice. Doctors, they're both very intelligent guys, and they have led Holy Land tours for years. And my sister talked me into going to this particular Holy Land tour, and it was an amazing experience to actually go where Jesus walked and talked in the Bible, the New Testament times. It was just incredible, just incredible. One of the many highlights of my time in the Bible lands took place when we went to something called the Western Wall. It's also known as the Wailing Wall. And it's there in the temple in Jerusalem. And it's this place, this wall, and there are cracks in the brick, the rock there. And people write notes, special prayer requests, agonizing prayer requests, and stick them in there. Now, if you can see, there is a fence. There is a women's part on the right as you face the wall, and there is a men's part on the left as you face the wall. And so the men and the women were segregated there. It was a Jewish thing. Now, our tour guide's leader said, now we're going to go back to the Western Wall later this week to observe something very special. Said, we're going to go there on a Friday evening, and you're going to see something that you will never forget. And it was true. We got there, and this is not an actual picture of the night that we were there, but you can see the Western Wall, and you can see the sun is just set, and there's thousands of people there in front of the Western Wall. What I saw was amazing. As soon as the sun went down, the whole atmosphere changed there. Not with us tourists, but with the conservative Jews that were there. And the Jews came in dancing, because it was Shabbat, Sabbath. And they were, it was like, I thought someone had won the lottery because they were so giddy and happy with their celebration. And they were dancing and carrying on and just celebrating. Since I was on the men's side, I happened to see what the guys were wearing. And they were dressed to the hilt. They had these very fancy black suits on, white shirts, and these fur caps, fur hats. Here's another picture of some of these fur hats. And when our tour guides told us how much they paid for these, I could not believe it. You know what you need to shell out for a fancy fur hat? $5,000. For a hat. But it's their Sabbath hat. And so they were just filled with joy, and they were dancing and singing, and they were just dressed up. Something special had just taken place because it had turned to the Sabbath, and they were thrilled because it was the best time of the week for them. Conservative Jewish families also have traditions when the Sabbath hours hit. When Friday sundown comes, they greet one another with this Hebrew greeting, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, which being interpreted is Sabbath peace. And what this term really means is, may you have the joy and peace of the Sabbath. And the Jewish family will, when the Sabbath comes, they will light special candles. And they will drink a special sweet drink that is symbolic of joy and celebration. And they will eat this bread that's kind of it's called challah, which is a soft, rich, eggy bread in the shape of a braid. They welcome the Sabbath like a friend is coming in, and they joyfully celebrate the coming of the Sabbath hours at sundown. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and drop $5,000 on a fur cap. But maybe, just maybe, we could learn something. Maybe we could learn something from the way that the Jews approach the Sabbath day and make it more of a day of joyous celebration. I found this slide. It says, I love Fridays because I love Shabbat. I love Sabbath. And you see them dancing joyfully because they are celebrating this wonderful gift that God has given us called the seventh day Sabbath. I love Fridays because I love Shabbat. Sabbath is a gift of joyous celebration. A joyous celebration. I love Shabbat. I love Shabbat. And who doesn't like a party? I certainly do. Shabbat Shalom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this gift of the Sabbath. We've just begun and we're just scratching the surface. But we want to be excited about this wonderful gift that you have given us in the Holy Sabbath day. Lord, help us to sort through what we have acquired with our humanness and what you would have us do. Help us to look at this Sabbath with joy and celebration, and help it to be the best day of the week. You gave it for a specific reason, and we are bettered, we are benefited when we get that. So thank you, Lord, for this gift, the gift of the birth week of creation. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful gift. I ask this in your holy name. Amen.